Jesus. Sunday morning, this is February the 10th, 2019. And I'm going to bring a word. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut that I was supposed to bring last week, but we ran out of time. So I'm going to bring it this week, but it's not lost its place. It always amazes me. My broadcast is about 5-6 months out. I'm not sure how many weeks out, but the Lord always leads me in what to bring. I don't always understand. I don't always want to bring what He tells me to bring. But the last 2 weeks, He's had me teaching on or talking about, looking in the Word of God about cannibalism and abortion and different things like that that are going on in our culture today. And I'm just sitting there in amazement because this is what we're dealing with in our nation right now. Yesterday, I saw where Iowa, they had put in they were trying to combat abortion and put in some heavy laws. Before it could even get enacted, they shot it down and a judge ruled it unconstitutional. So now they're also backing birth abortions. And there was one other, New Mexico. Yes. Makes me ashamed to even be near them. Anyway, and I, you know, pondering these things and talking to the Lord about these things, well, He gave me this word last week, but it even resonates more in me this week, that God, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, God knows about it, and the words He says are relevant. And I always, from time to time, I say, Lord, you know, you've had me going down these rabbit holes for nearly a year now and or longer, and I said, am I still on track? Am I still doing what you want me to do? And He said, part of coming out of Egypt is getting a hold of the truth, because it's the truth, you know, that'll set you free. And I was reminded of the prophet, I don't know if it was Elijah or Elisha, I'm not sure at this point, but Jehu was anointed king. And Jehu, he with the priest and the prophet, I guess, they went in together and they took out Jezebel. And they took out Athaliah, or Athaliah, whichever one you want, way you want to say it. They took her out. The Lord said to me early in this week, and I probably have it written down here. He said, separation of church and state is from the pit. That's the problem. The church is disconnected with its world, disconnected with what's going on in this government. They probably couldn't tell you anything in the Constitution. They can't tell you who's running for what office. They can't tell you who's your senator. They can't tell you a lot of things. And I know y'all haven't heard like to hear some of the things that I've had to say. The Lord's had me say, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to say that. He said, well, I'm not saying it. You're not saying it. I'm saying it. So it just spurred me on to continue to delve into the truth. Whatever rabbit hole He tells me to go down, we will go down that rabbit hole. This is part of coming out of Egypt. You know what kept them in Egypt? They got comfortable. They sat in front of their TV sets, just like we have, so to speak. They were in bondage and didn't even know it, because the ones, when they got ready to come out of Egypt, they griped and complained at everything Moses did, everything God did for them. They griped and they complained. That's what's happened to the church. That's what's happened to the world. We sit in front of our movie screens and our TV screens and our video games, and we have just flat cut the world off, don't want to hear anything, don't want to see anything. And we have just followed them like a sheep to the slaughter. Have you ever seen sheep just herded to market? They're fixing to be slaughtered. They don't have any clue. That's how they seduce little children into pedophilia, through Disney and animation. And they start doing things to them, and the child associates that with fun. And with, you know, they condition them. Isn't that sick? Well, it's no sicker than the church sitting, waiting to all fly away, while all this stuff is coming down and all this truth is coming out. It's getting louder, and it's getting louder, where we can no longer not hear it. It's coming out of every crevice. Why? Because God is done. This morning, as I was listening to the broadcast talking about abortion, the Lord said to me, they have a space to repent, and if they don't repent, they'll be taken out. These heinous people are doing these heinous things. If you don't believe that, just go read past history. Q always says, future proves past. You just go look in our past history of humanity through the Word of God, and you just look at the nations that did these atrocities and did what they did. And Israel, when they followed those nations and did what they did, they failed. They came down. They were, next thing you know, they're in Babylon in exile 70 years. Our God doesn't change. He still feels the same about it as he did then. It's an atrocity. In the time of Jehu, people were starving, so they were eating their children. That's what people are doing today. They're eating their children. They're having babies. There's even people that have baby farms. I didn't go into that article, but they just breed for the sake of these babies to be body parts and food sources to satanic gods, demon spirits. You ever wonder why the Lord said not to partake of the blood? You know? The blood we partake of is spiritual. That's communion. Jesus wasn't talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about a symbol of his death, burial, and resurrection. What has the devil done with it? Turned it around to where people eat people. This isn't anything new. This has been going on since, I know the 70s. The old movie, Logan's Run, where they ingested Solid Green, and at the end, Charlton Heston says, Solid Green is people! It was mandatory killing at a certain age. I think it was like 60. They go through this process, and they kill them and process them, and people eat them. Isn't it sick? Yeah, I love teaching about this kind of stuff and talking about this kind of stuff. This is the world we live in, folks. But it's part of the process. You know, the people in Egypt, they had to see the bondage and what they were under to be able to embrace the new. Okay. This is called a sign of the times. Lord gave me this on January the 30th, 2019. But before Moses delivered the Israelites out of captivity, there was a sign of the time. And we're going to look at the sign of the time. Exodus 1. Sorry. Kleenex sounds like a earthquake. All right, I'm not going to read all the names of the... We'll pick up with verse 6. Then Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation, but the descendants of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, and the land was full of them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, Behold, the Israelites are too many and too mighty for us, and they outnumber us both in people and in strength. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply more, and should war befall us. They join our enemies, fight against us, and escape out of the land. So they set over the Israelites taskmasters to afflict and oppress them with increased burdens. And the Israelites built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded, so that the Egyptians were vexed and alarmed because of the Israelites. Do you know that the Christians well outnumber the elite? They're such a small minority compared to just regular folks. And the Egyptians reduced the Israelites to severe slavery. They made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar, brick, and all kinds of work in the field. All their service was with harshness and severity. And the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, of whom one was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but let the male babies live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and allowed the male children to live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They're vigorous and quickly delivered. Their babies are born before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives revered and feared God, he made them households of their own. Then Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the river Nile, but every daughter you shall allow to live. Sound familiar? This is where we sit, right here. This is what's going on. The devil doesn't do anything new. Just runs in these cycles. Okay, the killing of the newborn. You know what the deep state, which is the deep state, I've always kind of thought, well, what's the difference between the deep state and the cabal? Well, cabal is more worldly influence, nation, you know, all over. The deep state's more like our corrupt intelligence agencies, FBI, CIA, NSA, and all of those. Their biggest fear is public awareness. Why? Because they have used lies and propaganda to deceive us blind. So we're blind to the truth of what's really going on so they can do their dirty deeds behind the scene. But their biggest fear is us becoming aware. Because you know what, as citizens of the United States of America, by right, we could storm D.C. today with our guns in hand and be in line with the Constitution and kill them all, elect a new government. In fact, some think, especially those in the militia, they think we should be doing that right now, that our president's acting too slow. Now, I believe God's leading Donald Trump. He has a plan. They've had a plan for years, many years, to take this evilness out. And it'll fall like it's supposed to. I believe that with all my heart. Okay, now two. Now Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife Jochebed, a daughter of Levi. And the woman became pregnant and bore a son. When she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark or basket made of bulrushes or papyrus, making it watertight by dabbing it with bitumen and pitch. Then she put the child in it and laid it among the rushes by the brink of the river Nile. And his sister Miriam stood some distance away to learn what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the bank. She saw the ark among the rushes and sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby cried, and she took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called him Moses, for she said, because I drew him out of the water. Okay. So, Moses was rescued in a time where the firstborn, which he wasn't the firstborn, but all the male babies were being killed. Okay. Before Jesus came to bring deliverance out of captivity, there was a sign of the time. And we're going to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, wise men, astrologers from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east at its rising and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was disturbed and troubled, and the whole of Jerusalem with him. So he called together all the chief priests and learned men, scribes of the people, and anxiously asked them where the Christ was to be born. They replied to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not in any way least or insignificant among the chief cities of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler, a leader, who will govern and shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod sent for the wise men, astrologers, secretly and accurately, to last point, ascertain from them the time of the appearing of the star, that is, how long the star had made itself visible since its rising in the east. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search for the child carefully and diligently, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. When they listened to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which had been seen in the east in its rising went before them until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy, and on going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure bags, they presented to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, so they departed to their own country by a different way. Now after they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, tenderly take unto you the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Remain there till I tell you otherwise, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. Having risen, he took the child and his mother by night and withdrew to Egypt, and remained there until Herod's death. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he realized that he had been misled by the wise men, was fiercely enraged, and he sent and put to death all the male children in Bethlehem and all that territory who were 2 years old and older, under, reckoning according to the date which he had been investigated diligently and had learned exactly from the wise men. So we know Jesus was around 2 years old because the wise men came to the house, not the manger. Okay. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. Okay, so we see here the same thing. God's fixing to raise up Jesus. What's happening? The killing of the unborn. You know, and also what's going on in our culture today, they're trying to demasculate men, make everybody gender neutral. We're just a bunch of shims walking around. Don't know who we are. Don't call me, you know. This man, I saw this. It was hilarious. It was a YouTube video. This young teenage boy was behind the counter, and this big old guy walks in with women's clothes on, women haircut, had on makeup, earrings. You know, got a... has a masculine voice, and this young boy behind the counter calls him a sir, and he goes ballistic. I'm a ma'am. Well, the other day I saw they have a doll out. It's called the ma'am doll. And it's this guy. It was so funny. This little kid was scared to death behind that counter. They go ballistic. They're crazy. You know, they're all messed up. They need to be born again. But see, that's what Satan's trying to do. Take our strength from our nation. The men are the strength. The leadership and the strength of our nation. And you see him filling it up with a bunch of lunatic, kamikaze type, idiot, jihadist women that ain't got the sense to get out of a paper bag in our Congress. I'm just going, Lord, this is scary. The future of America's right here. But God is taking it out. It's coming down. It's coming down. Sign of the times. Okay, today, as the deliverance for the whole world from bondage is happening, there has been a sign of this time. On January 22nd, 1973, Roe v. Wade established women's legal right to have an abortion. Well, on that day, that was the 46th anniversary, New York reinstates Roe v. Wade and grants abortions up to the day of birth. These are Satan's false flag events, but it is also a sign of deliverance for this whole earth, a jubilee. The end of all evil as you have known, a cleansing, the earth, the blood of these little ones are crying out to me, the hammer of judgment is falling. The end of men's governments find their fulfillment when they touch my most innocent, precious ones. You know what it talks, well, we're going to look at some scriptures. Okay. The end of all evil, as you have known, a cleansing of the earth. The blood of these little ones are crying out to me. The hammer of judgment is falling. The end of men's governments finds their fulfillment. In other words, it's to the end when they touch my most innocent, precious ones. Okay, Luke 17. They may think they're getting away with whatever, but they are not. Like I said before, they even on the broadcast this morning, they can hide in their cities. They put under the ground and all their fast trains. They've got a train that goes, several G's, miles an hour. They say in the future we'll have trains that fast where you won't even have to have air travel. That it's already in the making. But the thing is, you can't hide from God. He knows where you are. We may not see you, but God does. All right, Luke 17:2. It would be more profitable for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were hurled into the sea than he should cause to sin or be a snare to one of these little ones, lowly in rank or influence. Okay, Matthew 18, that's probably saying the same thing, but we'll look at it. 18:10. I think they're the ones with the little robes on and their little harps in their hands. They're in the Revelation and it's saying, Lord, how long till you avenge us? I know, I think it was Jesse that when his heavenly encounter, he saw lots, because the Chinese have mandatory abortion. If you have one child and if you get pregnant again, you have to have a mandatory abortion. So he said he saw angels keeping just bunches of Asian children. Yeah. 18:10. Beware that you do not despise or feel scornful toward or think little of one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always are in the presence of and look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. So God's face, the angel's face, God's face, they're right there on that child. That's how God looks over his children. I know that for a fact as a child. I know. The Lord showed me. My mother would say, Mom, there's a big bird in my room. I know it was an angel. I don't remember seeing an angel, but there's a big bird in my room. She said, I never saw any big bird. Satan is a murderer. He's an abortionist. He wants you to abort babies, and he wants you to abort your dreams. Abort the things God's put in you. He likens faith as to birth. Faith is birth. It's being pregnant with God's things. He wants us to abort life. Okay. John 8. 8:43. Why do you misunderstand what I say? It is because you are unable to hear what I'm saying. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teaching. Why? This is John 8:43. See, in Jesus' day, they didn't want to hear his message either. I don't want to hear about that. What relevancy does that have today? Well, I think if the Lord's leading it, I think it's got relevancy. Yeah. You're of your father, the devil. It is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires which are characteristic of your father. So they've been listening to the devil. That's why they believe what they did. And they didn't want to hear any other narrative. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and of all that is false. We're familiar with the fake news today. All they tell are lies. Killing of the unborn and newborn make the end of their rule, thus saith the Lord. Israel stayed in trouble with God because of Molech. Molech required men to pass their children through the fire. Hillary Clinton serves Molech. She's a high priestess. Molech. Her and her followers kill babies, drink their blood, and eat their flesh, as well as abuse children sexually. That's what all this Haiti mess was about. See, all these little children don't have any mamas or daddies, so they just load them up on the Red Cross and the FEMA ships, and guess what? They got fresh meat. God raised up Jehu to destroy Baal and to destroy Jezebel and her evil daughter Athaliah. That's 2 Kings 9, 1-37, if you want to read that. Athaliah killed all her grandsons and sons, daughters. Killed them all. That's 2 Kings 11, 1-21. Jehu was the hammer of justice of his day. Now we know who the hammer of justice is today. The Trumpinator. Our day, God has raised up JDT. Most see this as a horrible thing. It is, but there is a upside to it. The dominoes are starting to fall. See, when the swamp is drained, you start seeing the ugly come out. It's not hidden anymore. See, it's been hidden for a long time. Okay. With the president's executive order on 12-21-17, the seizure of assets of those involved in human trafficking, they are out of funds. Thus, New York's Reproductive Health Act, allowing abortion up to birth, are full-term abortions. This is because they need new blood. Obama was heard giving a speech talking about new blood. Everyone thought it was figuratively, but it was. They need new blood because they feast on this blood. They need new blood and sacrifices for their God and for themselves. See how the devil works? Well, he's always overplays his hand. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is gone, dead or not. Regardless, she's out. There'll be a new Supreme Court judge coming soon. With this, New York's bill will be plenty. With this New York bill, there will be plenty of lawsuits, so where will it ultimately end up? Supreme Court. Okay, in the end of Roe v. Wade, this new law in Iowa, they even decided to put in the bill, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, this bill will still stand. This is what's happening even though they are projecting. They're projecting right now. What's projecting? Well, just think about it. You're sitting in front of a movie screen. That's projecting. You're being fed whatever that movie, whatever purpose, whatever underlying thing, they're wanting you to grab a hold of that. That's projecting. They're projecting that they have the upper hand. Like I told you, there's a lot more of us than are of them. They're just a small fraction. Okay. All right, Exodus 4. It got worse before it got better for the Israelites. This is what the Lord spoke to me. I believe it was yesterday. No, it had to be last week, because this was last week. Exodus, oh, not 4:14. Sorry. Now we see the time of Moses. He went in. God raised Moses up. He went in. He'd tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he'd say, no. And so there'd be a plague come. And then Pharaoh would say, get this off of me. And he'd say, okay, when? He said, tomorrow. Anyway, he went through all these plagues, 10 plagues in Egypt. But even while all this was going on, the people in Goshen. Now, I want to speak something to you today because I've been praying about this. I hear quite frequently, they've poisoned your food supply, they've poisoned your water supply, vaccines are really made to break down your normal immune system so you can't resist disease. All this stuff coming out. And I said, Lord, what are we to do about this if we're not to take a thought about what we eat or what we drink or what we're going to wear? What are we supposed to do about it? The only thing that I have at this point is we've got to claim what the scripture says. Pray over our food, pray over our water, but don't take a thought. Because this is how I believe about it. And I believe that's why God started me 24 years ago teaching on this line for this time. It's not what goes in the man that defiles him. It's what you believe about it. If you believe what I'm drinking and eating is poison, then it's probably going to affect you. But if you believe, well, it's not what goes in me that defiles me, what's come out of my mouth. Whether it's true or not, if you believe it. Yeah. Satan knows how faith works. He saw God create. What do you think all of this is about? He wanted to usurp God because he saw that power God had. That's what all of this is about. All of it. So all I know at this point, unless the Lord specifically speaks, do this or do that. Every website you get on, they're pushing survival food and survival this. And I'm going, Lord, you hadn't told us nothing. I remember Y2K. Buying all that water. The only thing I did was ruin the top of my closet where I put the water. It leaked, and we leaked on the board and rotted the top boards in our closet where I put the water. How'd that come down? Went off that hitch. Oh, you need to have 6 months worth of food in this? Who in the world can do that? I said, Lord, they're all saying this. Chicken Little syndrome. But if he hasn't said anything, we don't do anything. What'd they do in Goshen? Not a blooming thing. It didn't go on in Goshen. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's Goshen. That's today's Goshen. Unless the Lord specifically tells you something, I would do nothing. I just trust him. Okay, Lord, you said you'd bless my water. You'd take sickness from it. And you wouldn't permit the diseases that have come upon Egypt to come upon me. Is this Egypt we're coming out of? Yeah. Same old Babylonian system since the Tower of Babel. Same old thing. Satan's narrative. Doesn't matter what culture. Jew, Gentile. Okay, 14. All right, finally, Pharaoh released them. They come out of Egypt. First rail out of the box, Pharaoh gets, somebody says something, Pharaoh says, what have I done? So he thinks, okay, we're going to go after them. We're going to bring them back. They're going to be our slaves. We're going to start this all over again. Okay, let's see what happened. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp before Pi-hahiroth between Migdol and the Red Sea, before Baal-shephon. You shall encamp opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the Israelites, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I will harden, make stubborn, strong Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will gain honor and glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. It was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was changed towards the people. And they said, what is this we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariots and took his army. See, the deep state, they've been praying on us for since 1913? I know the R post talked about in 1909 we lost everything. So it's been since that time that we have been under this burden. And he made ready his chariots and took his army and took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Lord made hard and strong the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the Israelites, for they left proudly and defiantly. Like I said, it looks bad, but it's going to turn out good. The Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them and camped at the Red Sea by Pathahroth in front of El Shaphan. When Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked up, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And the Israelites were exceedingly frightened and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you in Egypt, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness?" Moses told the people, "Fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. The Israelites shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea, and I, behold, I will harden, make stubborn and strong the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go into the sea after them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know and realize that I am the Lord when I have gained honor and glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel, it was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, and the one host did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the Israelites went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watched the Lord through the pillar of fire, looked down on the host of the Egyptians, and discomfited them. Now this is what the Lord told me is happening to them. And bound and clogged, took off their chariot wheels, making them drive heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and horsemen." So Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength and normal flow when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled into it, being met by it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians and shook them off into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, the host of Pharaoh, and pursued them. Not even one of them remained. So they're dead all over the seashore. It looked like they were going to devour the Israelites running after them. But God had a plan, because he clogged up their wheels where it wouldn't turn and they couldn't escape. And when the waters came back over, they were drowned. He took them out. I mean, all of them were taken out. He didn't just take them out in Egypt. He let them pursue, and he finished the job. So the Lord said, "I'm cleansing. It's going to be a clean slate." That's good news to me. Yeah. They're about to see their wheel stop turning. It started with the executive order. All their funds are cut off. All their resources are drying up. They don't have anywhere else to turn. That's why they're acting desperately right now, doing whatever they can with their silly laws. Okay. I would like to read something to you. This is amazing to me. This is a word of prophecy. Really, it's a combination of two prophecies. One was in April 2007 of the late Kim Clement. He foretold everything. I mean, right spot on. Okay, "This that shall take place shall be the most unusual thing, a transfiguration, a going into the marketplace, if you will, into the news media, where Time Magazine will have no choice but to say what I want them to say. Newsweek, what I want them to say. The View, what I want them to say. Trump shall become a trumpet. Now, this happened in 2007. Trump, that's why he was going, Trump shall be a trumpet. Just the way he said it. Says the Lord, Trump shall become a trumpet. I will raise up the Trump to become a trumpet, and Bill Gates to open up the gate of a financial realm for the church, says the Lord. For God said, I will not forget 9/11. I will not forget what took place that day, and this is fixing to hit the fan. And I will not forget the gatekeeper that watched over New York, who once again will stand and watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God. It shall come to pass that the man that I place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. But God said when he enters into the office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Spirit. That State of the Union address the other night, he was doing everything but shouting God's praises and giving God glory for stuff. For I shall fill him with my Spirit when he goes into office, and there will be a praying man in the highest seat in your land. There will be a praying president, not a religious one. For I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will, God says. The one that I is chosen shall go in, and they will shall say he has hot blood. For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way. Build that wall. Build that wall. That's what's happening right now with the immigration thing. He's building the wall. Okay, the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the word of the Lord. God says, I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray. He will not be a praying president when he starts. I will put him in office, and then I will baptize him with my Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, this was on February 22nd, 2014. This man is a genius. It's been said he is a genius. He will restore the fortunes in the nation. He heard gold. We've heard gold will bring down the Fed. That's Q. Because of his brilliance, he didn't see my face, but he stood in the midst of people and they were one. He was in his garden there in California. He was praying. And he said, this was a vision. He looked behind him, there were just multitudes of people. And Trump stood in the midst. He couldn't see his face. He said, the Lord didn't reveal his face to him. But he said, they were one. They were unified. The Lord's had to speak in the unity party. I didn't see his face. He stood in the midst of the people, and they were one. Cue the Patriot Movement. He will throttle the enemies of Israel. He will throttle the enemies of the West. There are highly embarrassing moments that are about to occur for many, many politicians in this nation. There will be a shaking amongst the Democrats in the upcoming elections, but unsettling for the Republicans. Why is God doing this? Because I'm dissatisfied with what emerges from both parties. Then he took me to another nation that is itching for a new kind of war. He's talking about North Korea right here. They will shout, impeach, impeach, but nay. This nation shall come very suddenly, but he will not come in the time of Obama. They will come when my new one arises, my David, that I have set aside for this nation. A man of prayer, a man of choice words. God says, I have set him aside. They will shout, impeach, impeach, but this will not happen. Then God says, highly embarrassing moments as another kind when a Snowden arises. And I put there Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. And people will become very afraid. They'll say, we have no protection. And then God says, am I impressed with your weapons of war? Am I impressed with the strength of your men's legs? Ha! I said I will bring this nation to its knees, and God said you have been humbled, and yet some more. And you shall hear the sounds of great victory. How do we kill the giant of debt? How do we kill the giant of socialism? How do we kill the giant of human secularism? I have placed that man amongst you. Gold, remember this. Gold brings down the Fed is what I put there. Those that shall reject him shall be shocked at how he takes the giant down. The giant of debt, the giants that have come, the brothers of Goliath, standing in glee, watching America. They're just waiting for America to fall. We will cripple you. You will lose your credit. But God says, watch, I send 20,000. Look not to Wall Street, however, observe. They will say, what is your plan for this giant? He will take a simple stone. And he said, remember that name. Don't know what it means. Could be Roger Stone. And he will hold it up and they will laugh at him. But the plan is so brilliant, says the Lord, that it could have only been given by me. California, you're dying because of the drought. Watch my sign. Watch the sign of rain. For I told you there would be severe wind from above, and all the states who are affected by this severe weather have been set up for a shaking of my spirit and an outpouring of my spirit. But California, I'm looking at you. He goes, gold, stone, California, a smaller statue. God says, once you recognize the man I have raised up to pray for the enemy, will do anything in his power to put a witch in the White House. Did anybody hear what I just said? For Jezebel has chased away the prophets and even Elijah. Now I've said, go back, for this shall be a dismantling, so it will be no more corruption in the White House, says the Spirit. Okay. My people have cried out for an answer, and this is what I have to say, says the Spirit of Life. A veil has been placed upon this nation, and I did it, so that for a season my people would wonder and faith would increase. For in darkness faith grows, in despair faith grows. I did it, but now my fury has ended. Hear me. For I found a man after my own heart. I found a man after my own heart, and he is amongst you. He is one of the brothers, but singled out for presidency of the United States of America. But here, that transcription of God upon the heart of his prophet, how the gold has become dim. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, are now regarded as clay pots. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who have been brought up in royal scarlet now embrace ash heaps. Is that what I wanted? My people were whiter than snow, whiter than milk. They were like sapphires in their appearance, and now they are stricken for like fruits in the field. The hands of once compassionate women, now listen to this. This is the main part of this whole thing. The hands of once compassionate women have cooked their own children, and the children have become food for them. Your children have become food for a once compassionate woman. But my fury is fulfilled, says the Lord, and I have now kindled a fire. I've kindled a fire in Zion, in America, and the nations throughout the earth, and my first fist is about to smack down on Russia. For out of the rebellion of the Ukraine, which was seen by my people, shall come out of ashes those beauty. Beauty will come out of ashes. It shall come out of that sadness and joy. It shall come out of those garments praise, says the Lord. I have searched for a man and a woman to stand in the Oval Office and pray and call for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion. I've looked for a man that will pray for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion. Therefore, if you would hear my heart today, I will take you on a journey. I will first take you to Israel, whom they would give. I will first take you to Israel, whom they would give Jerusalem to his enemies. Why would they give half of Jerusalem away? This will not happen, says the Lord, for I will take you on a journey today into Jerusalem, where it shall be prophesied through by my prophet what I intend doing in Jerusalem and in the United States of America. At the same time, says the Lord, I am restoring the fortunes of Zion. Now, this is the economic reset. We're waiting any time for this to happen. I'm restoring the fortunes that were the inheritance of my people. I'm restoring the fortune of those who are the elect of God and have been stolen from you all. Okay. You shall eat your delicacies again, and your children will no longer be your food. You shall not use them and take them out of the womb anymore, says the Lord. Watch how I change everything, for they shall be those bringing justice, and those that are in a strong position in the highest courts of the land, the Supreme Court. That's what he's talking about here. Two shall step down for the embarrassment of what shall take place. For I wish to place in the highest court in the land righteousness, and they shall attempt to put others in to endeavor to reach their endeavors. But God says, hear me tonight. Hear me today. I have this whole thing planned out according to my will. It is now time for me to restore the fortunes of Zion. Fortunes to those who have had it once, you're going to get it back. This is my promise, says the Lord. And I wanted you to see that because I wanted you to see, even back in 2007, 2014, God was working on this plan and raising up men to execute this plan for a jubilee. Not just in the United States, but in this whole world, to take out the evil so his plans can go forth. Okay.